gospel comes to us today from the book of Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to him, Jesus, and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" And they replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant. It has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Fear is leaking out through the disciples' words. Jesus, in the stories of Mark in chapter 9 and 10, that's where we've been exploring what Jesus has been up to the last month and a half, 2 months. Jesus has been making it known what is to happen to him. By using patience, as the disciples were squabbling about who among them was the greatest, remember squabbling? By teaching a new thing and using the embrace of a child. By modeling a kind of Messiah no one expected. Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all. By radical inclusivity, whoever is not against us is for us. There's no in-group. By preaching with compassion and softening those hard hearts. And the use of imagination, right? Remember the camel? Eye of the needle. We readers of Scripture, the mirror into which we see who God is and the mirror in which we see ourselves, might wonder what is going on with the disciples in today's gospel. Through all of this following of Jesus, taking in his teaching, watching how Jesus loves and cares for people with that servant heart. Thanks, kids, for pointing to your heart. During Good News time, we would think the disciples would learn lessons of self-loss and humility. My Access Study Bible reminds me, oh, get yourself a good study Bible. Lessons that lead to peace, hope, and God's kingdom on earth and in heaven. Rather, fear is leaking out through the disciples' words. Fear of what? Of the actual follow-through of the foreshadowing of Jesus' betrayal and killing and rising? Mark chapter 9, verse 31. Of something they cannot in their wildest dreams imagine. Maybe Maybe. If so, we readers would give them credit for this kind of fear, right? This kind of fear that leaves room for awe and worship and gratitude and the realization of God's forgiveness and love in the shocking witness of Jesus' servanthood. Ah, let us ponder, though, another kind of fear. Fear of what Jesus names and describes all who follow him. The audacity of James and John. Oh, there's a word. Let's look it up. I love those confirmation kids. They ask good questions in their sermon notes. What does that word mean? Millstone. I forgot to tell them what millstone meant. Anyway, audacity. Merriam-Webster, a bold and daring quality that is sometimes shocking or rude, disrespectful, courageous, perhaps, but combined with recklessness. Audacity. It can be helpful, right? A helpful action, especially when used in a situation where someone is being harmed, or bullied, or left to suffer. But in this case, James and John say this, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." Not sure why they thought this was a thoughtful response to Jesus' mission and ministry. Again, much like Peter last week, remember, speaking before thinking without checking his heart. James and John are modeling the cheekiness of Peter and not the humility of Jesus. And then they had the audacity to say, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand, one at your left hand, in your glory." In your glory. James and John. Did they really want to say this? "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand, one at your left." They are assuming without a question, a favor. Grant us. No asking. Assuming. The one asking in this exchange in Mark 10, did you hear it? Of course the one asking is Jesus. "What is it you want me to do for you?" Fear is leaking out of the disciples, leaking out in demands that they get close to what they think is Jesus' glory. No, in Jesus' glory, in it, on the right and on the left. Grant us to sit in your glory. When we speak of Jesus' glory, it is delightfully and wondrously and deeply who Jesus is. Is the fullness. Jesus is of God. God who created and walked with their ancestors, they knew the stories. Who spoke and performed wonders in light so bright, in power so mighty that one can scarce take it in. The same God glory that cares for the birds of the air and the flowers of the field. The same God glory that loved the world so much. Jesus, Son of God, was sent for all, for forgiveness and grace and peace. This, my friends, is the glory of God. Glory is who God is. All of it. All of it. And it is where Jesus is, in God's glory. So, assuming a favor, to sit in the glory of Jesus at the right and at the left, Jesus who is one with God. Well, this means the favor is to be in the glory of God, the majesty and wonder of God. Sit in that greatness. Fear is leaking out in the words of James and John. Fear of the truth of what is actually going on within the disciples in this story of Mark. So let's get to it. What are they afraid of? I bet you know, you wise ones, the reality of what it means to follow a God who calls God's self servant. Many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. There it is. Fear is leaking out of James and John as they encounter truth they cannot accept. They were following a Messiah they did not plan on. They had witnessed, had been told, the last will be first. And in following this kind of Messiah, they too must be the last. Give it all up. Following Jesus all the way to the cross, to the right and to the left of the mocking and the spitting and the flogging and the killing, 3 days dead and then the rising. How does one be in the right and the left of this? Oh, this is too much, too much. James and John do not wish to be in the right and the left of that humiliation. They cannot get their heads around that kind of glory. They want to be in the right and the left of God's almighty glory, the kingdom of God. Story goes on, right? The other 10 disciples became angry with James and John. And Jesus, the one who excludes no one, gathers all 12 of them around to use 3 words Jesus has yet to use in the same response. Here they are: servant, slave, and ransom. Fear is being laid bare by Jesus with the good news definition of glory. Of who Jesus really is, servant of all, slave of all. The giving of life is a ransom. I'm not sure what happened immediately after Jesus offers them this definition of glory, of his greatness in this way. Scripture doesn't tell us. The next verse is actually, they came to Jericho. We can use holy imagination that servant Jesus guided the disciples back into his arms of kindness and friendship in caring conversation. That is greatness. How many of you have ever read this book, The Help? The Help by Catherine Stockett, copyright about 12 years ago. It's a story of historical fiction, my personal favorite genre, about African Americans working in white households in Jackson, Mississippi in the early 1960s. Some of you know what was going on during that time, 1960s. The Help is what African American domestic workers, mostly women, coming into white people's homes were called, trying to soften the truth of how they were being treated. Servants, just coming out of that Jim Crow era, not using the same bathrooms, not eating from the same hot dish pan, not drinking from the same faucet or the same fountain as white folks. The Help was thought to be that softer definer. This story was made into a movie. Maybe you saw it. These women are invited to tell their stories to a curious and determined writer, determined to tell the truth of their lives, what they have given up in order to be the help, to work for meager wages, to cook and to clean and to shop for groceries, but most important, to rock and to dress and to feed and to play and to comfort the white babies and toddlers left in their care, all while withstanding mocking and dismissal and accusations and humiliation. A powerful part of this story is how the white children love the help. These brave, strong women of color would snuggle a child into their right and into their left and onto their very laps and sing to them and read to them and wipe their tears away. The help these strong, brave, compassionate women of color offered their happiness to the children in their care. Their strength and their kindness made the 1960s world of these little ones a safe and loving place. Slavery had no place in God's plan for creation, a human invention that came from greed and evil. Only the Spirit of God, only the Spirit of God can take this abhorrent word and the truth of humanity's history to use in speaking of what the glory of Jesus means. Unconditional service love takes away fear. It helps us lean into understanding today's amazing story from Jesus. In response to the 10 other angry disciples, angry at James and John, Jesus did not mince words, did not soften the truth. Jesus got right to it. The way of Jesus' mission and ministry, the way of the glory of Jesus, servant of all, slave of all, ransom on a cross for the whole world. This is being in the right and in the left of the glory of Jesus. Grace, do not fear. God draws us near to God's very self, and we're caught up in the gift of it. No need to ask for a favor. No need to ask where to be. We are already there. Amen.